6 Nehemiah 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing unless he first reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So the idea is that the things which the prophets spoke forth were the intimate secrets of God. And this is the wonder of the book that we now know as the Bible, that there we have written down the words of the prophets. And these are things that God considered to be his secrets, his intimate personal ideas and his intentions, which he had shared with his inner circle, as it were, in the council of heaven, in the heavenly throne room, and he has revealed them to his servants, the prophets. And so in that context, he says, Amos says in verse 8, the Lord Yahweh has spoken, who can but speak it forth? If we know these secrets of God, then it is axiomatic that you will want to tell them to someone else. So it is quite natural that there has to be some response to having received the word of God. And here is the wonder of an inspired Bible. Here is the wonder of the fact that the Bible is not like any other book that there is in the mass of literature that humanity has produced. Here you have the inspired, inspirited words of God. These are his secrets. And the wonder of that is that you must speak it forth. In the classic statement about inspiration that you have in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where Paul says, from a child you've known the scriptures and that they were all inspired by God. He then goes on to appeal to Timothy, at the beginning of chapter 4, to Timothy, to use that, to preach. Therefore, use it to upbuild others, to encourage others, to warn others, and to bring other people to know Jesus. We can easily forget the wonder of the Bible. And I think as you just simply get older and the years go by after your conversion to Jesus, the wonder of this can slip. And it's a terrible concern to me that I see so many good folks who will read books about spiritual things and explanations of the Bible, maybe, but I just wonder how much actual reading of the Bible text there is going on amongst us. No matter how much you read the views of other people, your own personal reading of the scriptures has got to be absolutely central to your day-by-day spiritual life. And really, I think in our age of cell phones and our age of having the Bible in all forms of media that you could wish, there's really no excuse. We should be able to read the scriptures daily or hear them spoken to us, listening to recordings of them, etc., daily. And I urge you to do this. And John Carter said or wrote many years ago that according to our estimation of the Bible, so our attitude to it is determined. So the idea is that if you really do believe that the Bible is inspired, then this is going to radically affect your attitude to it. Now, if you can actually hear somehow God's voice speaking through those words that are, as it were, black print on white paper or shimmering off a computer screen or the cell phone screen or whatever, coming through the airwaves to you into your ears, if you can sense that this is God's voice, these are his secrets, then you should feel a sense of wonder and an earnest desire to understand. There's a lot of talk about Bible study, and yet it seems to me that what passes for Bible study is very often studying or listening to the views of another student. And the wonder of personally reading and joining the dots and learning something, this must never be lost upon us. All the rest of it, all the reading of other people's views, listening to them, viewing them, etc., well, that is secondary. The primary issue is our personal engagement with the scriptures, because that is the voice of our God speaking to us. Now, we are not the prophets, we are not Amos, etc., we are not inspired, And yet we also are to speak forth God's word as it has been revealed, as he says in verse 8, Yahweh has spoken, who can but speak it forth? And I see the intimacy between God and those who speak forth his word in verse 12. Thus says Yahweh, as the shepherd rescues out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be rescued. Why the two legs and the piece of an ear? Well, Amos was a herdsman, as you read in Amos 1 verse 1. The idea is really he was a shepherd. And he was aware that sheep were branded on their legs and on a piece of their ear to say, this is mine, this is my sheep. And so the shepherd rescues just the little bit that's left of his beloved sheep that the lion has snatched and devoured, as if to say simply, this was mine, because I love my sheep. And of course, the idea is that the lion was the symbol for the enemies of Israel, be it Babylon or Assyria, and God was saying that, okay, they're going to devour my people, but they're mine. And I'm like the loving fanatic shepherd who will just take the last little bit that is marked and branded to show that they were mine. This is a picture of God saving or trying to save the very small remnant of his people. My point is that God is here presented as a shepherd, and yet Amos was the shepherd. So you see how God worked through the prophets. And insofar as we go out and speak forth God's word, which we do by sharing the Bible, the actual message of the scriptures with other people, insofar as we do that, we are absolutely in line with him. And in that sense, when Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to all the world, he then says, and I shall be with you to the end of the age. He will be with us, and you will feel his special closeness as you share his word.